Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Women Emerging podcast. I'm Julie Middleton, Director of Women Emerging. Every week I speak with women around the world of different ages and in different sectors about how they lead, because we need many more women leading in the world today. We explore how women lead differently and do it their way, which is authentic, fulfilling, and highly effective. To disrupt sparks energy, but to destruct, that is how you kill energy. Last week, Rebecca and I spoke about the importance of belonging and the importance for a leader to build a sense of belonging in their team, and how the result of that is that you get beautiful, beautiful work. This week, I'm going to talk to Veal about a variation on that, that sometimes the challenges of belonging are enormous because you get somebody in your team who really does not want to belong. They are often a high achiever who wants really to disrupt things. And how important those people are to you as a leader. You need them as well as the people who yearn to belong. Maybe they're just finding different ways to belong. How they express their belonging is by disrupting. But it was really interesting to talk to Veal about what happens when a disruptor slides towards and begins to cross the line and become a destructor. What do you do as a leader? Let's go. Here you are, Veal. Veal, one of the things we often get asked is how long a piece of rope should you give people, which is a very English expression, which sort of means if when you're leading, you have somebody in your team who will just not play the same game as everybody else in the team, insists on playing their own game, and is very, very good at their own game, a really high achiever, why is it important to make space for them to be effectively disruptive? But how do you judge when you're leading when the disruptiveness sort of flips over to destructiveness? And it's quite a fine and difficult balance to get right. And I thought you were the perfect person to talk to about it. But you don't have giving people a rope, figuring out how long the rope is. In Dutch, what would the expression be?
Yeah, well, it says something like, hoeveel keer gooi je een reddingsvest? I mean, it's like a life jacket, you know, that you have in a ship. How many times would you throw this jacket to someone to be able to survive?
So both of them have sort of boating analogies.
Yeah.
Okay, I really want to pick your brains on this because you must have, if you run an arts festival, you must be a complete expert on this subject. So let's start by saying, why is it important to have disruptive people in a team?
Yeah, well, I must say when you ask this question, I immediately, they're popping up so many people in my head, you know, because in the arts, indeed, you're working in a very creative atmosphere. So creativity is really your gold. So you need that kind of people very much because, yeah, arts, creativity, it all comes together there. So indeed, in my organization, there are some people who have really like this kind of guideline. They have this kind of you should push on the right buttons in order to have them to get out as much as possible of them whilst they're being disruptive in your organization. There are of course different ways of looking at it. They're needed indeed, like you say, because of the creativity within the organization, within the team. They're also needed for you as a leader yourself, because you need people who also say no, who also can warn you, who also can see things from a different angle, from a different view, to help you get better and to help to see, to overview everything. So it's good for yourself, it's good for the organization, and it's also good, yeah, for the future of the organization. I mean, disruptive people are most of the time also people who are quite successful. They're people to whom other people listen. They're quite self-confident as well. So you also need that kind of people within your organization and within your diverse team.
Have you, like I have, occasionally been told by the team, you're only doing it because this is your favorite person, and you get known for having favorites?
Yeah, indeed. That can happen indeed. The thing is, those persons, if you're creative yourself as a leader, the tricky thing is that you also get along with those disruptive people, because in a way, leaders are a bit disruptive themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a leader. So that's why you often understand very well why they're like that. And you should never stop talking to your team about it, why this person is on board, why you've chosen this person, why this person is on the job. And it's in my experience that if you manage to talk about it and to be honest about it, it is possible to fit the person into a team, because they also will know why they're so important and what advantage there is for themselves.
So it's terribly important for the team to know that you are not blind to how
mm-hmm.
disruptive they are,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you have chosen to have disruption.
Indeed. Talk about this particular side of a person's character, because most of the time, those people who are disruptive are also people who create a vibe within the organization. You know, most of, as we said, they are self-confident, they bring in some creativity, they're there, so they also are the ones who bring in some energy in the team as well. So if you can keep them at that position and also show that within the team how much we need it, then they will also understand that this is a part of their person, you know, the disruptive side. Mm-hmm.
So to some extent, in your leading, you are explaining the role of a disruptor to the team and managing the disruptors so that they just stick at disrupting. But if you don't get that right, they can slide from disruptive to destructive, can't they?
Indeed.
So tell me about destructive. What does destructive feel like?
For me, destructive is the moment that those people cause harm to your organization or to your team, which you cannot restore anymore. So it is harm which is not turnable anymore. It is something that will really kill people, kill the organization, kill the atmosphere within an organization, and something that you cannot put right anymore, something which is done. So that's the very, very tricky moment. Or people quit because of a person. That is also, that's the moment when the disruptive person becomes poison within your organization. And that is a very tricky point. Not to enter that point, it is so important that you keep on talking to the person and that you surround him or her. You have to surround those people with other people. With people who can, they can rely on, but also people they trust. And also yourself, you always need to have this second eye, you need, you know, for that kind of people. And it's the moment you cannot undo what they have done, that is the moment that it's destruction. Let's say then it's over. Yeah, I guess.
But they're still high achievers.
They're still high achievers, indeed. But then you need to say goodbye, even if they're high achievers. I mean, there are always other people who also achieve a lot of things. And if you are really playing with your other people, which you also find very important, of course, if you're playing with your DNA of your organization, then it becomes very tricky. And then being a leader for the rest of the team is even more difficult, you know, because you saw it with your open eyes, you know, you realized what was happening and you didn't take action. So that is unforgivable for a leader.
So I remember you telling me that one of the really important things to do to prevent disruptors from being disruptors is to keep them busy, because they slide into destroying things if they're bored. Boredom is the worst, isn't it?
That's the thing. The disruptor is someone who is very creative, so they're having ideas and having other views on like constantly, like every 5 minutes, and who mostly has a high level of intelligence, who is high sensitive as well, not for the things they are causing, but in general. So you need to shape a frame in which they can work. I talk with them the whole year round. I even if there is something very nicely that happened, they delivered, for instance, something extremely nice and good, even on that kind of moments, you should not avoid a conversation about their behavior, about the disruptive sides they have when it's causing trouble in the team, trouble into the organization. If they get bored, then they do harm. Because then they have time, you know, they have time to do wrong things. So your job is to keep them busy the whole time and to give them new opportunities, and they can indeed deliver as well and achieve wonderful things.
So you watch them, you keep them busy, but do you not also find that you have to, I know this sounds rude, but you have to flatter them too, because very often they have great pride. And very often, actually, they've had a difficult relationships with other members of the team, which they haven't understood why they're difficult. So they're actually very, though appearing to be arrogant, they're actually quite sensitive, and they need encouragement and flattery.
Indeed, that's, I mean, apart from keeping them busy, keeping them surrounded, and talking to them a lot about what they do, there is this other point of how to handle them, pushing on the right buttons on the right moments. To get as much out of them as possible for your organization, always for the sake of the organization. And talking with them is not only about what they do wrong, but also on how they feel, on trying to understand, on trying to know why they do what they do. I think when you can convince them that they are needed within the team, within the organization, but on the same time, that they're not so needed because someone else can deliver as well. I think if you manage to have a right balance between those two, then I think it's doable. They are the ones who ask a lot from you. It's always keeping this balance, but that's what a good leader does.
Have you ever been frightened, so frightened of losing one of these people that you've not taken action, or you've taken action too late?
I have. In the beginning of what I was doing, indeed, I must say that yeah, of course you're frightened because you have a great team and you like working with them and you like working with those people, of course. But you learn from that, you know. And the next time you won't be frightened anymore. You shouldn't be frightened of those people, although they're indeed very helpful in what you want to accomplish. But it's yeah, over the years you have this experience of how to treat the people and also not to be afraid of losing people. I mean, if you lose them, they also lose you.
And as a leader, you cannot leave it to fate, to the team, to luck, or just you just sort of hope it's all going to go away.
That was indeed, let's say, in when I think of this example, like many, many years ago, that was the thing. You just hope it goes away from itself. If you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist, something like that. But of course it does. And yeah, I think the thing is that you must not stop talking with your team why you need those people, why you need them. The moment you don't you don't speak anymore about that, about the need of those persons, then you also start or you stop questioning yourself about that person. So it's an everyday job. It's an everyday job to think about that, and also to think strategically about the, let's say, the way that person has to grow within your organization. What is also the limits for that kind of person regarding experience, but also regarding their responsibilities within a team? That's something you have to question the whole time.
Because you can persuade them that they're the problem.
Yes, I'm sure about that. I do have disruptive people into my team, and I love them. And it's good to have them there. And we talk openly. We try to talk openly. That's also, of course, something I learn within my own organization. I have fixed people, and I have people who are there temporarily, people who come back, people who never come back. It's something, I mean, it's a constant flow of people. So you see a lot of different characters, and the ones that stick and the ones that stay and for many, many years, there is a reason, even if they are disruptive people.
Have you ever got this wrong? Losing a disruptor because they became destructive and you didn't manage to deal with it, so that in the end they left. And as they left, you said to yourself, I could have prevented that.
Sometimes it's not always very clear, but when someone leaves the organization, you're that far in your conversation that sometimes it is not clear if they quit or you ask them to quit. You know?
What are the indicators? What are you watching that tells you that it's gone from disruptive to destructive?
Mm-hmm. There are quite a lot of very concrete things there. One of the things is keeping your deadlines. That is something very important, because every organization has deadlines. And of course, deadlines are something, some people are good at it and some people are not good at it. But you can feel the reason why deadlines are not kept. And that's kind of a red flag for me when it's kind of a structural thing without any explanation. If there are explanations, I mean, I can accept everything there. But when the explanation is not so clear, then it starts to be a red flag. Second thing for me is making faults and or making bad decisions and not saying sorry. So trying to hide as much as possible, or to put other people into that problem. So not being able of saying sorry.
Would you mean putting other people into the problem? You mean blaming other people for your mistake?
Blaming indeed, or always trying to find someone else, or whether it's someone within the company or someone else, it's always someone else's fault, let's say. And of course that happens, and that happens a lot of times, but not always. So again, red flag. And the third thing maybe I want to mention is people that are not honest, you know, that tell you half of the story and not the whole story. Everyone knows something can go wrong, or something, or someone feels bad, but if you feel like this is not the whole story, then red flag again. And those are, I think, three things that you could always bring up, you know, in those conversations with those people.
You know, I would add to that list a fourth,
mm-hmm.
which is less concrete, but to me is terribly important, is that when the person becomes cynical,
mm-hmm.
and is somehow destroying dreams, destroying hope, destroying confidence, always sees the bad side of everything, expects no good side of things, and their cynicism sort of begins to infect the whole team, including the really wonderful young people who've joined the team, full of hope and excitement, who are just as important as everybody else in the team. And you see them begin to make those young people cynical too.
Mm-hmm.
Cynical is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the kind of poison we were talking about, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. That is something which can be spread, indeed. Yeah.
They begin to suck the energy out of you and out of the room and out of, most importantly, the team.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. That's again energy and also yeah, the good vibe. The thing that you go to your job and you always have to watch your back because you never know. And it's not clear because they're nice people most of the time and they're open and at the first sight and they achieve great things and so you're happy with them in the first place, you know. But on the other hand, they really suck the energy out of you. Yeah.
How interesting. And you must keep saying to yourself, my job is to get them to deliver. My job is not to let them suck the energy out of everybody.
Indeed. And there is a need, a reason why I need this person at this moment. And this reason is above everything and it's very clear for yourself and for the team as well.
Even the most amazing person can move on, and we can still survive if we are a good team.
Yes, indeed. That's the thing of bringing diversity within your team, you know. You need those people because they bring in diversity, they bring in other views. And if you have this kind of diverse team, you are a more creative team and you're a sustainable team for the future. So you need this, yeah, this people, this kind of people.
But not at all cost.
No, not at the point they become destructive and they do harm to your organization.
Thank you, Vil, so much. That was delicious. I take away that you have to protect the disruptors. They're important. But you have to explain to the people who want to belong in a more traditional way why you need the disruptors. I don't think as a leader I did that enough. I remember over the years just occasionally people saying that I had favourites and me thinking they're not favourites, they're just disruptors, and I want to encourage them in as much as I can. But I don't think I then went further and explained to the team why we needed those disruptors. I think that was really interesting. So protect, explain, but keep a very, very, very sharp eye on disruptors because they can slide to being destructors. And don't kid yourself. Don't pretend the problem will go away if you have a destructor in the group, because it won't. You, as a leader, have to deal with it. I really, really enjoyed this episode. It touched me and made me think a great deal. Thank you, Vil, again. To everybody, have a good week. Talk next week. Lots of love, Julia. There's also loads more you can learn from other women if you go to our website, womenemerging.org. That's womenemerging.org. Over time, we are determined to redefine leading so that more of us can say, if that's leading, I'm in.